Well, welcome back to another episode of our Fierce 2024 podcast. Today, we are honored to have Sister Caroline and Minister Simpiwe join us today on a topic that is bravery through missions and evangelism. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, ladies. I know that one thing about you both is that you are missionaries at heart, but not just in doing it. Just even in the way that you speak sometimes, I think we'll be on a conversation and missions just creep in. So it's who you are. Yes. So just let's start off the conversation just by asking, you know, how did you start your journey in missions?
Okay, can I start off that, please, if you will allow me
to? Please go ahead.
I just want to give you like a brief history about missions in South Africa. Okay. So on July the 9th, 1737, a 26-year-old Moravian missionary called George Smith arrived on the shores of Cape Town, South Africa, moving inland to Beverhanskloof. He built himself a little home and planted a pear tree in his new garden. There he befriended the local Khoi tribe, the original people of Southern Africa. It took 5 years for George to baptize the first Khoi believer. Members of the state church were not impressed, and they opposed against George's mission. So he was forced to flee South Africa in 1744, just 6 years after he arrived. Leaving little more than a pear tree and a handful of Khoi believers. It would be almost 50 years later before the Moravians' missions returned to South Africa. On arriving back at Beverhanskloof in 1792, three Moravian missionaries located the ruin of Smith's original house. In the garden at their amusement, ladies, stood a giant pear tree. The results of a tiny shoot that Smith had planted, even greater, surprised, were in store for them. They soon met an old lady named Magdalena. On finding out who they were, she introduced herself as one of the original believers who had been baptized 50 years previously. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The light of faith still burned in her heart, and for half a century, this remarkable woman had nurtured and led the local church which Smith had founded. She drew out a small leather bag and asked her if her daughter could read something from the New Testament. They listened astonished at the second generation native believer read to them from the Bible given by Smith 50 years prior. These new missionaries began to develop a self-sufficient, literate agriculture community with a strong spiritual faith. Within a decade, the governor of the region was so impressed with the impact of Beverhanskloof that he renamed the place Genadendal, which means Valley of Grace. In a clear nod to George Smith's legacy and the work of those Moravian missionaries, post-1994, President Nelson Mandela renamed the official residence of the President of South Africa, that was Westbrook, to Genadendal. In making the announcement, he expressed the desire that the office of the President's office should also be under God's grace. So George's mission, which seemed to have failed, was in fact used by God for generations to come.
Sure.
Isn't this an awesome story, ladies?
Beautiful, yeah.
I mean, 50 years later, and they were carrying on still. So, this lady Magdalena is for me, she's such a brave woman. I mean, she took and she nurtured these children under a pear tree. And guess what? That tree is still there.
Sure.
So whenever you guys want to take short left.
Thank you.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Mm. Wow, the foundation of faith.
Mm. Yeah.
It's still the seed that God plants, it never dies.
Mm. Yeah.
It's eternal.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Also that tree speaks of his eternity.
Mm.
You know, that it's still there, it's a reminder. Mm. On the evangelizing side, my side is I look at it as a God's succession plan for the kingdom.
Okay.
To ensure that the kingdom continues here on earth.
Yeah.
So for me it's more like viewing for the future. If we don't plant those seed, you know, that the kingdom can, you know, be cancelled within like a generation if
yeah.
we don't continue planting the seed. So for me, evangelizing, when I started looking into it, the word that came is like succession plan for God, because that's the last thing that Jesus gave us. You know, it's like go out to the world, you know, and preach the gospel to every creature.
Mm.
So, and I love our church, you know, it's one of the fundamental things is beyond the four walls, you know, because it's not just about us anymore. We got the salvation, but it's for those who do not know God yet. Because I remember I was one of those one time.
Sure.
And it found me outside the four walls.
Sure.
And today we are here.
Mm-hmm.
So basically for me, evangelizing, it's more for God to succeed his plan here on earth.
It's a beautiful reminder, right, systems, that we were also once on the other side of evangelism, right? Someone had to share that message with us so that we can meet with Jesus.
Mm.
And if that is at the forefront of our minds, you know, evangelism becomes an instinct of a believer.
Yeah.
That how can I not share?
Yes.
It's like if you just had the best pie ever and you just walking around and you're like, I need to tell people to go to that.
Can't wait to share it.
So I think that maybe it's just Jesus spreading himself through his people.
Yes.
So what are some of the circumstances that you may find which are challenging that you feel like you've had to overcome as you both evangelize? I know that you go on mission trips and you do it on a weekly, sometimes even monthly basis. Mm. It really is a part of your life. So what are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome and things that you've learned from that you never knew that you were going to one day learn?
For me, the challenges would be at first when I started, you know, you grow into this thing. You start somewhere.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you start something, any other job, you know, it becomes daunting because you don't know what to expect. And the experience that you will get, you know, but you learn on the job. So for me, at first, it was just being in front of people and talking to people, you know. What goes into your head is like, do they even understand what I'm saying? You know, language barrier, cultural differences, socially as well. So it's one of the things that it is a challenge, especially with South Africa now. We've got different nationalities, you know, from foreign countries as well, you know. So you will find someone who speaks, who's like from Zambia, who doesn't even know Zulu or English, you know. But one thing that I saw, the love language is it goes across all nations.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we are there, the fact that we are, you know, offering, you know, the word, even though they don't understand, but we do meet their needs as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's donations, and that is a language on its own, even yes. by without saying anything, mm-hmm. you know. It spreads, and also when you just say God or unkulunkulu, mm-hmm. or they will pick it up that you mm-hmm. you're talking about mm-hmm. God. So one of the challenges, yes, it is a language, and also other challenges that other people have been church hurt. Mm-hmm. We find people who say, no, I don't tell me about God. You okay. know, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. You know, other challenges would be people were coming from like the culture mm-hmm. as well. And when you introduce God, it's like, no, this is how I do things, mm-hmm. you know. And I had to remove myself from those responses, that it's not about me. You can't take it personal.
Yeah.
You have to look at it that, you know, it's where they are and where you are. You're not on the same level, same yes. understanding, same knowledge of God, you mm-hmm. know. So it just takes away the taking it personally. And also being remorseful and just, you know, to understand where they are. You know, when Jesus was crucified mm-hmm. and saying to God, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Mm-hmm. It is the knowledge that they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. They do. Yeah. You know, so you take strength and you're just following how Jesus did things mm. and how he responded mm. to situations. Mm. It does help when you're out there. Yeah. You really need to rely on, it's his work.
Yes.
You know, so the role description should come from him in how you
how you manage.
Yeah. You know, to manage yeah. the challenges yes. and how you mm. respond and not take it personal. Mm. You know, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
You do get challenged. Mm. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, from my side, lots of people don't know. They think because my children are full-time in missions. So people think that's where my love for missions comes.
Okay.
No, my love for missions came when I was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, growing up in a household where both your parents are leaders in the church,
mm.
people expect that you know the Lord. But, you
yeah.
know, I didn't know the Lord. I was going to Sunday school. I was going to, that time, it's an Afrikaans saying, Kinderbond, like a children's ministry. So I was doing all the right things in the house of the Lord,
yeah.
but far from Jesus.
Sure.
Until missionaries came to our town. Now, my mom's house was always full of students, and it was always, you know, those days, our houses were full. And then she would take missionaries also in and stay with them, and... But missionaries came when I was 16, and then I gave my heart to the Lord.
Mm.
And hearing their stories at that age, it really intrigued me. And I always said, I wonder what it's like.
Mm.
But honestly, I would not go on a mission field. That was not me. Mm. So working and raising children and all those things, I always supported missions. No, it was for me, no. Give the money, you know, that was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. And until one day, my son said, Ma, by the way, why don't you do a DTS? I said, Nia, that's not for me, you know. And then after that, I'm praying about it, and I had a lot of bucket list items, you know. When I retire, I'm doing this and this.
Yeah.
And one day the Lord said to me, do a DTS. Now, DTS, a discipleship training school.
Mm.
And I prayed about it, and I said, okay, God, I'll do it.
Mm.
And that's how I came involved in missions.
Wow.
But one thing that I said to the Lord, and that time I was already 57,
mm.
I said, Lord, I love you very much and I love my children, but I will not submit under a child. So I was not prepared to do missions where my children are leaders,
mm.
because now I must submit under them. Well, yeah, I'm used to submit to younger generations.
Yeah.
If you are my supervisor or manager, I by all means I will do it, but not my own children.
Yes.
That's where I drew the line.
Okay.
And the amazing part is I applied in three different countries.
Yeah.
And as I was praying for it, I said, God, which country must I go to? In my heart, I had no country. I just applied for 3 different because that was dropping my spirit. And I said to God that one day, okay, the one that's giving me an answer first, I'll go there.
Yeah.
And that same day, all 3 countries answered me.
Oh, gosh.
So you went to 3?
No, but according to the time zones.
Yes.
Okay. This one country that I went to, they are the ones that answered me first.
Okay.
Because they are 6 hours in front of South Africa.
Okay. So
that's how my journey started. That's how my missions journey actually started. Although I was supporting missions most of my life. So now I went because my door was always open for missionaries. Even while I was working and even after my divorce, my door was always open for missionaries. So they would come and stay even before my children were missionaries. And that's why that extra love, you know, I always take care of them. And until I said, no, I also want to go and see what's happening there. Is it really true? Is it really so much, so many challenges? And believe you me, when you take your step out of that aeroplane, you go to a foreign country. Guys, culture shocks. Culture shocks.
Sure.
Language barrier. Language is really something. And you must know, a lot of countries are not so fluent in English like us. So just to pronounce a word, they can pronounce the word so differently, but we all try to speak English just to... But you get lots of challenges, I promise you. But it's so fulfilling. There's humor in it also.
Yes.
There's so much humor in things that you do. And to serve God's people. And just, you know, I can remember that one evening we went, I wasn't even there for long, we went out on outreach. And this little girl, because I've got curly hair, this little girl came and she touched, can I feel? And they were so fascinated with curls. And you know, you take things like that, and I start talking to her, and then you can minister to these children and say, you know, that's why God make us so unique. We are so different. Our hair, I say to her, look at your hair, it's straight and black and straight. And look at mine. But they were so fascinated.
Yes, sure.
And even in the mall, I walk in the mall and this girl said, come, let me promote a lotion. And she's putting the lotion on me. Oh, where are you from? I'm from South Africa. Oh, where's South Africa? No, in Africa. Okay. But you're not black. She said to me. But then you take that kind of things and say, okay, now South Africa, you know, we are a diverse country. So many languages and so many different people and then they get so fascinated with your stories. And when you come with stories like President Nelson Mandela, they say, what? You are from that country? So you've got things always, whenever you go, you've got things that you can talk to even before you bring in the gospel.
Yes.
You know, general things.
Yes.
And then you bring in the gospel.
That's beautiful. I think both of you spoke about different challenges, some similar. But maybe if we could speak to how do you guys actually then build your strength both on a physical and a mental level?
For us, the first time when I went, I was lucky we were in a, we call it a sports TTS. So we had, I mean, I'm not a one for exercises, girl. I can walk.
Just walking only.
I can walk for 2, 3, 5 kilometers, but do not get me on a
treadmill. That is exercising, 5 kilometers.
No. That's the extreme. So I was involved in a sports DTS. So what we used to do, we had our exercises. So to keep our bodies fit. And so obviously the others were doing push-ups and sit-ups and what, and I would walk. That was quite nice because that was like a 6 months. You know, guys, 6 months in a foreign country is not easy.
It's not easy.
You get so many challenges. But what was nice about the DTS that I done there is like you spend more time in the Word than anything else. So our lecture phase, like 3 months, you study the word of the Lord, you discuss it together, you you meditate, like your early the morning devotions, like 4 o'clock, I can be on the rooftop and I can have my quiet time. Wow. And then 6 o'clock, we start with your exercises, and 7 o'clock, it's a busy program. 7 o'clock is breakfast, 8 o'clock is lectures.
Yeah.
And in between, you had your work duties, you had your work programs. Mm. So you are busy. You are busy for 7 days a week. If you're lucky, you get a one day off after every 2 weeks. But it was so good because we kept fit. I mean, I lost a lot of cages. I don't know if you guys can recall when I came back, I was like a mar. So yes, so it was good. You know, there were so many benefits in doing that exercises and being active and walking in the mountains, and you fall and you get up and. Yeah, but your strength in God, your faith in God, you study the word and you meditate in that on the word and you share it with your fellow classmates.
Sure.
And that's what kept me. That's what really kept me. It's that strength in God.
On my side, it's similar to how Sister Caroline shared, is the word of God is the one that plays a part in your emotional, strengthening you. Because, like I said, it's God's, it's His work. Mm. So it's like when you know you're going to be a doctor, you are graced for that job. You need to be able to handle blood. You need to be able to handle people who are sick. So it's in you. So when we go to the Bible and there's something for you that will feed you for your role, that will feed you for your work. So the Bible, reading the Bible, I remember one time I was reading the Bible and I got this revelation, you know, when Jesus is our Savior. He took our sin and He gave us His righteousness. So I had this imagination as I was reading the Bible. It was like I was making an exchange. Okay. I was taking in Jesus and releasing the fear and releasing. He was taking the fear, the sin, the... Mm. So there's an exchange that happens when you read the Bible.
Yes. That's good.
So it's for me, if I would just go in without going in and taking in and doing the exchange, I wouldn't be able to handle the challenges that we face out there. So one of the key for me is reading the Bible and immersing yourself with the word of God and strengthening your inner man. When your inner man is strengthened, you can handle things. And then, yes, I do. I love exercising.
Are you on the after 5K? Or are you in the...
No.
1 to 5K?
I can go further.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Nice. I do, even before, doing this mission work, I love exercising.
Yes.
It's part of just to release also like any negative energy, your mind also to be open. So physically, just because you go out there, there's you spend like hours, you need to be fit. Your body needs to be able to carry the mission as well, not just your emotions. Your body also needs to be prepared, because if it fails, then you won't be able to accomplish what God has given you to do.
Wow, that's such an interesting point that you should mention, that being fit or being healthy can actually help us reach or take the gospel further.
Yeah.
You don't really think about that.
You don't look at it like
eating
that.
Fries.
Yeah. Guilty as charged.
And you must also know when you are unfit, it will take you longer to get to a point.
Yes.
I remember when we were in the mountains.
Mm.
You're in the mountains, you walk, it's uphill. Mm-hmm. You know, they will tell you, it's just there.
Yeah.
Around the corner.
Around the corner, no. You walk for 3 hours.
Sure.
And if you're unfit,
Yeah, it's not around the corner.
By the time you get there, you want to go.
Then you're too tired to do what you were supposed to do.
Exactly. So you have to be intentional. You have to be mindful of our. It has to be your life. You know, in the decisions you take, in how you treat yourself, the preparation behind it, the understanding, and getting God's heart and compassion also, you know, because you can't do this without compassion. You can't, you have to, even when people reject you, you still need to love them while they're rejecting you. You know, so you have to be strong mentally as well.
It seems as though there's a lot of sacrifice which is required. So you've spoken a bit about personal, moving out of your comfort zone, going into a foreign land for 6 months. And there's, I imagine, also the financial implications, financial sacrifice, and a sacrifice where what you usually did, or your family time, that can also be taken away. So how have you both, what are some of the sacrifices that you've had to make, and how have you managed doing so while still, you know, not cutting off bridges?
That's a good one,
For me, you know, my children are big, but my grandchildren, they are my weak point. So to leave two babies behind, and when I was dad's side, both of them celebrated their first birthdays, and Omi missed it out. But you know what? It was, for me, it was okay, because I knew it's a temporary thing, you know? I knew also why I was there, why I'm doing it. And it was not because for family or for my children or for grandchildren. It was because for my love for the unreached and the least reached people group. It was for my love for winning souls for the kingdom of God. Yeah. That was my first priority. And that was for me the reason. And I can remember I was about 3 months already away from home. Then I got a surprise visit from one of my covenant sons came to visit me there. And he brought me like nice tea from home. But the nicest thing that he could bring me was letters from my grandchildren to say, Omi, we miss you and we pray for you and you must enjoy it. So that was so the kind of things that really, you know, when you really, you know, you are in a foreign country, the people don't even speak English properly, most of them. And not that I can speak English better than other people, you know, I don't look down on people not speaking English, but most of us are foreigners together. So we're all speaking different languages. And I'm the only South African, and for that, I'm the only African for that matter. But so for me, it's just that letters from my grandchildren that kept me sent. And I also said to the team, you know, if I had to do that, what I was doing, the DTS, maybe in my 20s or my 30s, I don't think it would be the same. But doing it in a more mature age actually helped me. Because I remember one day they said there's a guest speaker coming from a from Nigeria. And I said, praise the Lord, there's another African coming. And it was so amazing. As he was doing that 1 week of lectures, my classmates in the evening, I said, guys, are you okay? You're all so quiet. They said to me, Mother, we ain't got no clue what that guy was talking about. His English is too good for us. So I had to explain to him, listen, they didn't understand much. And then you have to come to a level where, like when I was writing my book, they say, Mother, please don't speak English words. Because they want you yes and you know. You know, don't bring words in that they count. That's why my book is like, when I released my book, it was really, really plain, flat English. I tried not to put too many big words because I want other people to understand what I'm talking about. And so, yeah, I was very happy. Then the same week, I had a Nigerian and I had my covenant son from South Africa visiting. And it was just great.
Yeah.
And to put the cherry on, there was a team from Egypt coming. And that one night I asked God, God, what's the chances in this Egypt team? Can there not be a South African person? Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to me, yes, there's a South African person. Oh. You know, when I share it with somebody, and the next day when I met this girl from South Africa, me and her were like, I said to her, what's the possibilities that you can speak Afrikaans? No, you must know, ladies, I never spoke Afrikaans for about how many months now?
Almost six months.
Yeah. And there's this lady coming, and I ask her, what's the chances? You are from South Africa, you say you're from Centurion, that you can speak Afrikaans. She said to me, no, my auntie, I can't speak Afrikaans. I am fully Afrikaans, and me and her were shouting and screaming. Wow. And then everybody looked at us, what's happening now? But like that was like the highlights for me, you know, just somebody that come and speak my own language to me in a foreign country. That was like, I can remember when I came back, guys, when I was in Hong Kong on the airport. And there's people speaking behind me, Zulu. And I went and I grabbed them. I say, oh, praise the Lord. I can listen to a language that I can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's but it's so amazing, guys, really. Yeah. Like a language barrier can be such a big thing.
Yeah.
So we're not taking our languages for granted. We are, we've got a beautiful country with beautiful languages.
That's true.
And I think I must start to learn more. I don't know which one.
Challenge for you.
I don't know which one.
Okay. What a beautiful story, Sis Caroline shared. For me, I have not been outside the country. So my sacrifices are within the borders of my house and the area. It is more of to start with the sacrifice that you do. It's yourself. You give yourself. You give yourself for the mission. You know, you need to make that psychological decision that, you know what, and this is what I want to do for God. For me, it was, what is it that really, really matters in life when everything will come to a standstill and everything shuts down? What will be the most important thing? You know, COVID actually was a highlight also that the world can stop any minute. You know, but then what is important at that moment? Where do you go? What? Where are you gonna end up? So God, through the COVID, it really it was something that resonated with me, because that's when I decided to know I want to do more for God. Let's feel the heaven, you know, and and get more people, especially seeing people dying like that. It was a wake-up call to say, like, it was like God is looking at me to say, you are my hands. You are my feet. I'm crying for my children, you know. And no one is there to tell them about me. At least for them to make a choice, you know. Just put it out there. They'll make a decision. But no one is there, you know. So it was really very personal. It was very heavy in my heart. And then I just decided that that is the sacrifice I'm gonna make. And it was more like God promises in the Bible that he will take care of us.
Yes,
we do. And then there's one thing about that I've learned is like taking God at his word. And not minding what is happening around me, not being moved by what I see, what I feel, what I taste, what are the senses. I learned to just shut them out and just hold on to the word. And he has never failed. And then just going out there with that heart, you know, every time when I go out there, I can see him looking at me and saying, I don't have have hands. I don't have feet. Yes. Be my hands and be my feet.
Yes.
And run for me. Mm-hmm. And one thing also that helped me come into, like, to be calm, that it is not our job. It is his job.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember looking at the word evangelizing.
Mm.
And then God was like, look inside the word.
Yes.
Inside the word is angels.
Yes.
If you look at the word evangelize,
yes,
inside it, it's angels.
Angels, yes.
So it is the angels that, you know, when you start any job, they give you tools of trade.
Yes.
They'll give you a laptop. They will give you equipments, tools that you need in order to function in your in your work. And angels are part of tools that God has given us to help us in our mission.
Yes.
And I believe now that the church is waking up in that that knowledge that there are angels around us. Even Paul does say that the ministering angels are there to help you in your mission.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So when God showed me that in the word evangelizing, it just made it so you're not alone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
In whether financially, whether physically, yes, there are challenges. They will come. You will be persecuted. You know, there'll come times when, you know, you want to quit, you know. Then you remember when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, you know, it was a hard thing for him. But it says immediately when he said in his prayer, not my will, but your will.
Okay.
The next verse, it says, then the ministering angels came to comfort him.
Yeah.
You know? So it's when, even if you are at your worst, they are there, you know, to comfort. So it's those small mysteries in the Bible that we don't pay attention to, but they are key, you know, to help us through the sacrifice that we've taken. Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies. I think both of you have shared beautiful stories about venturing into the unknown, facing adversities, making personal sacrifice. And I think that just simply embodies bravery and faith. So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.